This is Logan Sekulow. A viral video exposes Joe Biden's threat to Israel.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Sekulow. We are taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. I'm here in Washington, D.C. We've got some meetings with U.S. senators, actually, over the next couple days. We can share more about that. After those meetings, I don't want to give too much away before, especially with the liberal media and TikTok stars all over the place, Logan, with influencers getting in the president's face as he did one of those Democrat, very popular right now, to do these influencer parties. But when you bring in those social media influencers, they're always trying to make, you know, get more views,
yeah,
do something that gets more people clicking on them. And that's exactly what happened in, let's play the video for everybody so they can see what happened with the TikTok star.
And I know you're a typical press guy. You're grabbing me in front of this all this thing. And I trust you as far as I throw your phone. I have a good arm, man.
Absolutely.
I can throw it a long way. But my point is this.
Yes.
I have made very clear to the Israelis what they have to do in the near term. If they don't, what's going to happen?
So what's going to happen? Is the U.S. going to cut off funding?
I came because usually you tell me I have a nice suit and you didn't comment on my suit today, so I don't feel a little offended.
No.
Thank you.
Here, okay, we can cut off from there, I think. That was, again, from Jonathan M. Katz. Someone else tries to get the president's attention, and his staff quickly moves him along after he threatened to take a journalist. Again, like you said, a TikTok influencer kind of guy, but also just a guy who's been a known journalist for a number of years now. Not like a kid. This is someone in their mid-40s who just essentially asks him a question about Israel and sends President Biden into sort of a tailspin where he threatens to take the guy's phone and throw it across the room because he's got a good arm. And then says, well, are you saying Israel's essentially going to have consequences about this? What is the actual quote? We'll get the exact quote. He goes, at this point, this is from President Biden. I've made it very clear to the Israelis what they have to do in the near term. If they don't, what's going to happen? And the reporter, Jonathan M. Katz, said, well, what's going to happen? And he said, a lot. And then he says the U.S. Got to cut off funding, and then he gets kind of moved along very quickly. Right. But he already says a lot in a very threatening way. Again, this is right after he threatens to take the guy's phone and throw it across the room because of his amazing arm.
Well, Logan, I think it's this. He doesn't want to have to talk about this answer because it divides his party. It also divides the country, but mostly it divides his party. So he's got the extreme left of his party, which has become more and more mainstream inside that party, who supports like defunding Israel, the BDS movement. They support the Palestinian cause even after October 7th. They want, as you said, they want arms funding cut off to Israel, no support to Israel. So he says things like a lot to try and satisfy that crowd while not being specific enough to actually, you know, maybe upset the more pro-Israel base, old school base of the Democrat Party, which is a lot of voters. I mean, this used to never be really it was a bipartisan issue. I think Republicans have been getting better on it. Democrats have been getting worse on it, but not Democrats like Joe Biden, not guys who have been around that long. But yet now he even understands, and his team definitely understands, that they can no longer be seen as pro-Israel. So they at least have to throw something out there like, if the Israelis don't do exactly what I want, a lot's going to happen to him.
Yep, and we are going to be taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. Again, this is after President Biden threatens this journalist, who, by the way, is no friend to conservatives as far as I know. This is someone who would be considered pretty liberal. I'll have to look at his background, but I know I knew that name somewhere. Give us a call if we want to hear from you, your thoughts, 1-800-684-3110. But as President Biden has continued to betray Israel, even as we've seen the Hezbollah ramp up attacks, we actually are on the ground in Israel. We're going to talk with Jeff Balaban coming up in just a few minutes, but you can be a part of that too. Help us right now. We need to take urgent action to defend Israel in its greatest time of need, and we need your tax-deductible support. So go to ACLJ.org and donate today. Again, that's at ACLJ.org. Without you, these fights aren't possible. Be right back.
Well, we are taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. I'm in Washington, D.C. We've got Logan and Will in our studios as well, our production studios. And I did want to go back to this for a moment, Logan, because as I was thinking about it with Jonathan Katz, so you've got these traditional liberal journalists who were kind of on the periphery of this influencers event. And they go right up to President Biden while he's making the moves. They've all got their camera phones out. And they ask about defunding Israel. And this is now what leftist journalists want to know. I mean, I think, again, that shows a change even in the United States. Not that they always loved Benjamin Netanyahu. Not that they would always be the strongest supporters of Israel. But they weren't in support of what Hamas did. They weren't going to try and justify what Hamas did on October 7th. They weren't going to try and justify Hezbollah starting a new conflict or other Islamic terror groups' actions. But now we've made this weird move, Logan, where they do. I mean, and it's like, again, it's a backdoor way of doing it, but they say, well, basically, the way they've been treated for so long, it's no wonder they act this way. And so that's what President Biden is now having to deal with inside his own party.
Right. You have an extreme left and maybe a right wing that would be pro-Israel and extreme left that now is against Israel, including Jonathan M. Katz. So I said, this is the person who went up to him. Biden threatens to take his phone and throw it away for asking him, or throw it across the room for asking him a question about Israel. Again, this is not someone who is a conservative or probably friendly to most of our causes. He's the one who went after Katie Britt after her response to the State of the Union. This is a guy who's very well known, and he was asking about what are you going to do to stop genocide. You know, this was, again, not necessarily on the side of pro-Israel at that point. But what happens is, you know, as it does seem to happen with President Biden, and then we saw it again in that speech. I know we're going to play a clip from that as well. Things seem to backfire, even when put under a situation where you think, okay, this can be a bunch of friendly people. They're going to come up to us. It's going to be fine. No, someone comes up, an established journalist with his phone ready to go, recording. That happens. And then, of course, you have this now infamous moment at the Jimmy Kimmel, Joe Biden, Barack Obama fundraiser that happened over the last couple of days with what they've said, you know, as President Biden essentially stalled out on stage and had to be walked off the stage by President Obama. Again, President Obama, you know, he's obviously not, he was one of our younger presidents, so he's not an old man now at this point either, but he's certainly not a young guy either, and he has to keep an eye out. He's in his 60s, keep his eye out and move, as you're seeing on the screen right now, if you're watching, pretty much grab President Biden by the arm and walk him off stage in a very uncomfortable, you know, great grandfatherly kind of way. I mean, again, there is a point where you start feeling bad that they're doing this to him too, because clearly he shouldn't be in this situation.
Well, I think what they are doing is setting up a precedent for a change if they have to make one. So even by releasing that video, Logan, remember that was a fundraising event with Jimmy Kimmel, right? I mean, that was, you know, 45-minute discussion. It wasn't like some big, long thing. But the fact that they keep releasing all of these videos, even in settings that aren't as public, usually we see these at speeches he's given, and the news is all there. You know, not like it's something they could potentially not have press at. But I feel like it's being done to him on purpose, because there's so many liberals who think he is the wrong candidate to go up against Donald Trump or anybody in any race, that he's just too old now, and that he has these moments where maybe he does sound tough, like I'll throw your phone across the floor, but then he has moments where he's looking out at the crowd and he totally kind of seizes up. I mean, he freezes. And as you said, Barack Obama isn't just like patting him on the back, like, hey, you were my old vice president, it's great to see you. I mean, he is holding him up like you would a very elderly family member. And it was in a loving way, yes, in a sense. I mean, you can tell, yeah, that they were very close, but not in a way that you would hope to have to hold up a guy running for another term.
Right.
As president of the United States. If he was about to finish out his term, we wouldn't be talking about this. Yeah. I wouldn't be making fun of the guy. And I'm not making fun. The idea is, I think he is being abused, yeah, by his own people.
I think
it's like,
right,
elderly abuse.
I think that's right. It feels like elder abuse. But yeah, when he grabs him by the hand or by the wrist in a way that is like, again, to steady somebody and to kind of get their attention of, here's where we need to go, here's what we need to do, because he just stops. Again, I'm not making fun of anybody. I feel bad for him in that sense. Yeah, exactly. It goes this way and then slowly kind of walks him off stage robotically. It's a weird spot to be in.
Well, and also one of the things that is not getting covered about that event, which had a record-breaking, they said, $30 million fundraising event in Hollywood, in L.A., with George Clooney and Julia Roberts in attendance. A lot of high-powered Hollywood folks were there to help raise money for Joe Biden. But what was happening outside of the event? A protest of pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian protesters that were protesting the sitting president of the United States and his policy towards Israel, which is really hard to define right now because it is at equal parts. He's bowing to the protesters and we're not seeing as much of it because college is out for the summer. So they're not camped out every day at universities across the country, but it's still happening when he goes to have what should have been a win for him. With a $30 million fundraising, with a lot of name power, a lot of earned media around that, what the two takeaways for me are: hundreds of people on the left protested you, and the former president had to lead you off stage because you couldn't figure out quite what was going on. So the campaign has to be reeling right now, trying to figure out what's going on. And they're even giving statements to the press that, Eric Schultz, Obama's senior advisor, said that this did not happen in reaction to the New York Post story about him freezing up. And the campaign even took a shot at Rupert Murdoch and said, Rupert Murdoch's sad little super PAC, the New York Post, is back to disrespecting its readers and itself by once again pretending the president taking in an applauding crowd for a few seconds is somehow wrong. They're gaslighting you. If you watch the video, he's not just taking in the crowd. President Obama grabs him by the wrist to lead him away.
Yeah, to walk him off stage.
He doesn't know where he is. I mean, this is the problem. You could take in the crowds. Applause. You know what you'd be doing if you were doing that? Waving at people, winking at some people, maybe even crouching down to talk to some people or shake some hands. He's not doing any of that, Logan. I mean, he eventually just stalls out. Now, what's interesting is Will Case, one of our producers, just found out that on June 15th, President Biden has declared World Elder Abuse Awareness Day just a couple days ago. And I feel like his team, including his family, are allowing him to do this is exactly the definition, maybe the worst example we've ever seen this publicly, of elder abuse, because it's on camera and you see these moments in their face and their eyes and also his facial expressions, Logan, where it just goes. It goes blank.
Yeah. I think that this is an interesting time for Democrats and for politicians in general. You see this sort of the traditional humanizing of a candidate. Those kind of things don't work when you have a candidate that's this age. You're putting him in, like you said, Jordan, they're releasing these videos. Also, they're putting him in situations that are no-win situations. Why that was even an on-stage event like that, where there was even that moment of we're going to have to walk a significant amount of way. Like, no one's they're either not thinking it through.
These low chairs.
Yeah, they're either not thinking it through, or they're doing it intentionally, like you said, to try to give that moment of, well, if something goes wrong, we can say, here's why we're being the good people by doing this.
Yeah, I get if you were going to have an event with Barack Obama and a bunch of celebrities, go ahead and do it because they want to come and see Barack Obama again. They'll give the money for Joe Biden. You can bring in Jimmy Kimmel to help host it, but you don't have to make it an event where you film it and you got, of course, people have their cameras and things like that, so things get out there. But, like you see, the chairs are low. These are two younger guys who are still on the top of their game, like Barack Obama and Jimmy Kimmel. And it kind of makes Biden look that much older to be led away by he's having to be led away by a former president from almost 8 years ago.
Yeah, I think when we come back, we're going to move a little bit more to what's going on in Israel because I think it's very important. We have some pretty cool updates coming from ACLJ Jerusalem, so you're going to want to stay tuned for that. Jeff Balaban's going to be joining us in this next segment. He had a really important meeting just this week, and it is a really interesting, so make sure you stay tuned for that. And in that moment, we also want your support because the ACLJ is on the front lines in Israel. We are ramping up all of what we need to do to help support Israel when now the Hezbollah is on the rise. There's a lot happening right now. We filed 3 written submissions to the UN to defend Israel. We're preparing legal arguments to submit to the UN Commission of Inquiry to stop their lawfare against our ally of Israel. And of course, you heard if you push up against President Biden about Israel. He may threaten to take your phone, throw it up across the room. But we're going to be there for you. So donate today. Be a part of the ACLJ right now. We really could use it as we're headed towards the end of June. Can't believe we're there. Past the halfway mark this month of June. We need some help right now. We're a little bit behind. We could really use your support. ACLJ.org. Make your donation today. Your support makes our fight possible. If you're able, also, you can become an ACLJ champion. But right now, I'm just going to encourage you, make that one-time donation. We really would appreciate it. Go to ACLJ.org. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110, and they are open right now. So if you want to be on the air, this is a perfect time to call. Get in line. We'll take your calls coming up. We also have a great update in the ACLJ case, a big victory. We'll discuss that also in the back half of the broadcast. But again, coming up next, Jeff Balaban from Israel.
Folks, welcome back to Secular. We've got a lot to talk about with Jeff Balaban, who directs our office, ACLJ Jerusalem, about a meeting he had with the president of Israel. But I wanted to go, Jeff, first with this a little bit of this breaking news, just to get your thoughts on this out of Israel. We're now getting the report that Prime Minister Netanyahu has dismissed officially the war cabinet in Israel. Tell people what that means. We already had one of the top coalition members of that war cabinet announced they were leaving the war cabinet, but now he's actually dismissed the entire war cabinet. What does that mean in Israel? If you're an Israeli citizen and you heard that right now, how does that affect the politics and leadership of Israel right now?
I think broadly speaking, the departure by Benny Gantz from the coalition showed a political break at a time where Israelis, by and large, don't want to hear about politics. They want to pursue this war to its just conclusion. They want to make sure that things are peaceful again, safe again, and they want to get their hostages back almost more than anything. And so when politics intervene, and let's be honest about this, there was a lot of back-channeling politics between the United States administration, American administration, and Benny Gantz, encouraging him to leave, according to many reports. I think that this is more of coalescing power and saying, we have a mandate. Our mandate is to go pursue this war to its just conclusion. And frankly, the outside interference is unwelcome. And no one in Israel, but the vast majority of Israel is not welcoming it. So I think this is a way to try, and we'll see if it's successful, it may not be, to set aside some of the politicking and keep on pursuing the war, because here in Israel, the sense is very, very clear. The vast, vast majority of the people need this war to continue until the power of Hamas and the other terrorist organizations to wreak havoc is diminished to the point of almost non-existent, and of course to get those hostages home.
Yeah, I think when people hear that, they wonder, does it trigger any kind of like earlier election, Jeff, or something like that? Or a war cabinet is kind of unique. We don't really have those in the United States. Technically, you know, we have, of course, the president would have a cabinet that would advise them during a conflict, obviously on advice from your Secretary of Defense, your Joint Chiefs of Staff, all those different folks, even your Secretary of State and your intelligence agencies. But this was unique to try and keep the politics in Israel united. Does it trigger anything officially for Prime Minister Netanyahu or for the people of Israel? Or is this just, again, like you said, something that it wasn't really working? It looked like kind of he was that Gantz was not playing fair with the commentary. He was almost like reading out the talking points of the left in the Biden administration for future elections.
Yeah, I think that what you just said is correct. I think that's the correct read. And here, look, it never stops. The political class here, it's not like America, because there are multiple parties, and the parties interchange and people shift parties and the strategic alliances. And it's a very different system than in the United States. And so there was a hiatus publicly, but privately, there have always been people in the political class who think they could do better, who want to take the helm. And so a lot of that was pushed down. I think the continued American pressure on Israel leads to dissatisfaction and leads various contenders who want to unseat Bibi. And look, there is obviously dissatisfaction. There's always been dissatisfaction from a lot of the political class against Netanyahu, who remains popular. Although obviously that took a blow when this horrible attack occurred on his watch. And everyone expects there to still be an accounting. And yet there's been a sense that overall, despite unfortunately having to succumb to some pressure from America, He has been he's been right in pursuing what he's pursuing. There are those who want to be more aggressive, and there are those who are trying to take advantage of America's break with Israel, which is really what it is, to also the administration's break, to try and push him out of office. So the back channel politics sometimes rise to the fore. I think it's what we're seeing now a little bit. There will be those who want to topple the government. At this moment, he's holding on.
I want to ask you about your meeting. You had a meeting with the president of Israel, President Herzog. Again, another unique twist about how Israel is different than the United States. You've got a prime minister, but you've also got the president there and President Herzog. And again, your meeting's focus, Jeff, on what we have seen growing here in the United States. Unfortunately, I'm in Washington, D.C. today, you know, on where I went to college. It's growing on that campus especially, and that's one of the largest non-Jewish schools, but one of the largest Jewish population of students. And yet the protests they've kind of winded down through the summer, but you can tell they're going to start right back up in a month and a half, I think, when students get back to school. And they haven't totally stopped 100%, but you met with the Israeli president, President Herzog, about the growing threat of anti-Semitism around the world, and even the growing threat of anti-Semitism, I hate having to even say this, right here in the United States.
That's right, Jordan. We spent time speaking about that. The state of Israel, the people who run the government, and the president, which isn't actually part of the government, plays a very important role here in deciding certain governmental issues. And largely, though, is supposed to play a unifying role and send a unifying message and represent the interests of the state of Israel and the Jewish people globally. That is, I believe on their website, they say that they represent not just Israel, the president, but also the Jewish people. Well, we met about that. We met somewhat about, he was interested in our view, obviously, as Washington insiders, what was going on in Washington to try to understand where these pressures were coming from. And we spoke about that. He has many people, I'm sure he talks to about that as well. But then we went into probably the most important part of the conversation. It was a very wide-ranging conversation on many issues. But we talked about the rising anti-Semitism around the world. And, you know, the Israelis, they live, they exist. I mean, Isaac Herzog, he's the president. He was born in Israel. He exists in Israel, even though he was educated for some of his years in the United States. They don't actually live in our environment. And so to hear what it's like, what we're experiencing, and to understand why their messaging and their, meaning the state of Israel's messaging and the state of Israel's policies, have an impact on the public narrative and how that public narrative then is used against Jews around the world, that's become a very important issue. And it's an issue where ACLJ obviously can play a very important role, because on the legal front, on the educational front, on the political front, on the policy front, you know, there's so many ways in which we're involved. And so we're talking about the various ways in which our fight against anti-Semitism, and obviously because of the ECLJ, it's a global fight as well, is impacted by the messages coming out of Israel, the actions coming out of Israel, and how to work together to make sure that what Israel intends is what's heard there, and what Israel wants to be heard around the world is heard around the world. And so it's basically we can play a role. It was a wide-ranging conversation. I would say focused mostly on anti-Semitism in the United States and how that issue is, we see it now. And unfortunately, it has been for quite a while now, primarily a problem on the hard left. It's becoming mainstreaming more and more. And now we're beginning to see on the right as well, elements coming up. And so, when you have the right and the left potentially combining, that's very, very frightening to everybody. And so we are trying to get a handle on that and work cooperatively to make sure that the right messages are being sent and people understand the truth of the situation. As I'll end with this quickly, we see with all these quick interviews of people on the streets who are protesting Israel, they don't know anything. They have no idea what's going on. It's just trendy to do so. We have to break through
that. Jeff, we appreciate it. Great to have that meeting with President Herzog of Israel. Of course, the reason why our team is there and they can have those meetings, folks, is because of your financial support of the ACLJ. We want you to donate today at aclj.org. And just understand, too, I mean, you can have a student right now or maybe a grandchild that goes to a Christian school who has moved, that's shifted on Israel. Talk to them over the summer break. What are they being taught about Israel in some of their classes? Because it's not just the left wing, like Jeff said anymore. It's happening even in our churches, this rise of anti-Semitism. But support the work of the ACLJ. Donate today at ACLJ.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. I do want to take your calls and comments. 1-800-684-3110. We got a second half hour of this show coming up right now, so be a part of it. 1-800-684-3110. In the next segment, we're going to be joined by CeCe Heil to discuss a big ACLJ victory. You're going to want to stay tuned for that. It's a really good one. We just heard from our ACLJ Jerusalem office and Jeff Balaban. There is, a clip you wanted to play starting this off. It's from Nancy Pelosi. She was interviewed on CNN last week. Specifically over, we talked about sort of the separation in Democrats in their support of Israel, or at least of Netanyahu.
So this is something that's pretty interesting to me, because this is the former speaker, Nancy Pelosi, who is no longer holds a leadership role, but is still very revered within the Democrat Party.
She's emeritus.
The current minority leader, Hakeem Jeffries, he had endorsed, along with other senior Democrat leadership in both houses, the Mike Johnson's plan to invite Netanyahu to speak to Congress. So the Democratic leadership was in lockstep with the Republican leadership on this, saying, we're going to invite him to address Congress. This is something that happened during the Obama years as well. But Nancy Pelosi decided to go on CNN and kind of air her grievances about what she sees as a mistake by the current leader of the Democrat Party in the House. Let's go ahead and play this bite four.
If you were still Speaker, would you have invited him?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I think that I think this is wrong. Frankly, I didn't approve of his being invited the last time, but the speaker just on his own invited him without consulting with the rest of the leadership. And he came and he criticized President Obama for the masterful work that he had done with the nuclear agreement regarding Iran to stop them from developing a nuclear weapon. And I thought it was completely inappropriate. I feel very sad that he has been invited.
Very sad that he's been invited. Of course, we all remember that masterful work that was done in the Obama administration.
Really great.
Obviously, that's paid off.
Stopped them from getting a bomb.
And it stopped, you know, any sort of attacks from Iran later on. You know, they're everything's glowing great there. All right, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Again, we're going to talk to you about some of the amazing work of the ACLJ. I'm going to take the next couple minutes here to really encourage you to support the work that we're doing here. We're so much beyond this broadcast. If you're brand new, if you're watching on YouTube, we know about every day, which is wild to think about. Every day, about 50% of the people watching on YouTube are brand new, have either never been or are not subscribed, never been to our channel, never seen a video, or not subscribed at least. So I'm going to encourage you, if you're brand new, hit that subscribe button. But if you've been here a while, I know a lot of you have. You like this show. We do this show for absolutely free, for no cost. We do our legal work, absolutely no cost. Also, we do legal work for you at no cost. So if you ever need help, and it's within our scope of the work here at the ACLJ, we want to be ready and armed with the greatest of the great, the best of the best when it comes to our legal team and our media team. But we can't do that without ongoing financial support. So I'm going to encourage you, as we're halfway through the month, I know I check the reports, I get to see how we're doing here. We really could use your support right now. Today, go to ACLJ.org, make your donation, make your one-time donation. If you can become an ACLJ champion, a monthly recurring member, that's great. But I'm going to encourage you right now to just make even a one-time donation if you never have, or if you need to. These are trying times, whether that is for Christians in America. You heard about what we're doing in Pakistan. You've heard about what we're doing in Europe. We're all over the world. But for Americans right now, we are only 10 days away or so from the first presidential debate. We know things are about to get heated. We know they're going to get hot. We need your support. Go to ACLJ.org. But I encourage you right now, and if you're new also, just hit that thumbs up if you're watching on YouTube, Rumble, or on Facebook. That really helps. The like button, essentially. That gets us into a lot more feeds, so a lot of new people. That's why it's 50% new people, is because of you doing that. But phone lines are open right now at 1-800-684-3110. I'll be honest with you right now, very few calls. So what do you think about President Biden's support or lack thereof of Israel? Where are you currently standing on Israel? I'd love to hear that too. Maybe you're on a different side of us, but maybe you're more conservative, but you are a Christian, but you don't feel like we should be supporting Israel the way that we're supporting them. I'd like to hear from you even. 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call right now. I want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. Support the work of the ACLJ by going to ACLJ.org right now. Again, ACLJ.org. Coming up next with CeCe Heil. are going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I wanted to take this segment, CeCe Howell's joining us, City Council, to talk about a big victory that came out of one of our ACLJ cases, but I think we got to set it up. You may have heard us talk about this case before. It's continued to develop. More things happen. You know, with a lot of these cases, it's not just one issue gets resolved and it's over. Sometimes it gets even crazier and crazier as time goes on because people don't like to lose. And that's what happened here, CeCe. Why don't you give us just briefly the origin story of this, sure, and then what happened?
Sure. We have a client in Philadelphia that lives in a senior living facility. And there's a community table in a community area that she has consistently, for as long as she's lived there, kept Bible tracts and put out Bible tracts on this community table. Just recently, she was told by management that she could no longer do that. And what was funny was the reason they gave was that they had to be more inclusive, which, of course, inclusivity there means we have to totally exclude Christianity to be more inclusive. You know, there was points where she was even told the tracts were garbage. So it wasn't that this was just kind of a misunderstanding. I mean, literally, there was an animus against her Christian tracts. And so we get involved immediately. Again, she went to ACLJ.org/help, filled out the form. We get attorneys immediately on it. We send a demand letter to the senior living facility. It looks like we're going to actually, you know, have a win here, yeah, which we typically do, and a good result. And the beginning of June, we get a call from the senior facility, their attorneys, saying, hey, yeah, this is not right. She can put those tracts out. Of course she can. This, you know, Supreme Court and the First Amendment protects this right, so she can do that. But lo and behold, literally the day after, we get that call.
Yeah, so ACLJ celebrates a win.
So,
it's great.
And by the way,
this woman, medical disability, needs a lot of help. This is not someone who is just like, just happens to be older at this point. Someone who's receiving treatments continually in a mobility scooter. A lot of things happening.
That's
in her life.
Absolutely. Legally blind. She is, you know, a disabled senior citizen living in this senior facility. So we think there's a win. And then the very next day, she gets an eviction notice, lo and behold, that she is being evicted. But what's interesting to know is she actually has her payments set up as automatic payments. So you know something's going on.
Right.
And not only does the First Amendment protect her rights, but also the Fair Housing Act. And so you can't discriminate under the Fair Housing Act, but you also can't retaliate under the Fair Housing
Act.
That's
what it feels like. It feels like you're being retaliated against for complaining, essentially.
That's exactly right. And even one of the elements for to see if it's retaliation is really how quickly the retaliation, you know, what happens. Well, a day after is a little bit, you know, and it's for a fee. It was like a fee because we're like, okay, hey, she's been paying this automatically. So how has she been behind? Well, it was some fee over a year ago that they're kind of trumping up some late fee or whatever that has now been incurring, you know, interest.
And they didn't seem to mind until the day after the attorneys said, oh, she is allowed to go ahead and place her tracts here because of the First Amendment and equal protection under the law.
Right.
And yet the next day, then the management decides, okay, we got to do something.
That's
here.
That's right. So we're going to get rid of her. And so, again, we jump in because we get justice for our clients, and we jump in and say, look, this is not right. And under the Fair Housing Act, you can't retaliate. And once again, send, you know, the attorneys a letter explaining that, saying we're ready to go to court, which we always are. If we cannot resolve this amicably, we will take these cases to court. And we did get a response back that, yes, once again, you are correct. They are not going to evict her. They totally, pulled that off the table. They're not going to evict her. They're going to once again explicitly say, yes, she has the right to put these tracts out. And they're also going to rescind all her fines and fees. So hopefully we do have a final victory on this case.
Well, you have to stay vigilant. You have
absolutely
to continue. That's why it's
you
important.
You never let your guard down.
That even when it's over, sometimes it's not. And when there are situations like this where all of a sudden you think you have a win, but then the next day or maybe the next week or maybe a year from now, oh, they decided they're going to retaliate against you because you are the one who caused them some problems early on. The ACLJ is there. We're going to be there for you because if this had happened, major lawsuit. This would have been, if they had not backed down immediately,
absolutely,
this would have been bad for them. And I think they knew that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And two, when this happened, you know, a lot of these things we do over the phone or, you know, via email sure. And communications that way, we sent an attorney out there to Philadelphia that day because we're like, no, you're not going to retaliate against our client who needs help and services. And so we sent an attorney out there to meet with her face to face to take, you know, to find out all the evidence and get to the bottom of it. And we did. And we were ready to go to court, but we didn't have to. We do have a win in this case where she's able
we'll see.
To.
You never know.
That's right. They could change, but you know, we'll keep a good eye on it.
But that once again goes to the work of the ACLJ and how hard we will fight for the clients, whether it be the FBI whistleblower that it took. Once we took the case on, still took over a year to get justice from for Marcus Allen, the FBI agent who was a whistleblower and was retaliated against by having his security clearance revoked outside of the legal process and outside of what is allowed. And so we fight there and we don't stop fighting for justice for our clients. And even here, a lot of times, as we say, we start with these demand letters. We send it a lot of times as soon as the corporate attorneys get involved, they are able to go to the management and say, you're doing this wrong. You're going to cause a lot of problems for us. You need to stop. But sometimes it doesn't always work out that way where the corporate counsel may say, you're doing it wrong. Stop doing that. But then bad actors continue and find something else they can do to target our clients because they have an animus against her faith. And that's what we saw here. But as soon as we got the win, she can put her Bible tracts there, we didn't stop looking out for this client. And that's what we do for the clients of the ACLJ that come in. They go to aclj.org/help. And sometimes it may seem like a small issue, like a lady in a senior facility just wanting to put out literature on a community table. But it can escalate to something where then she could be left homeless.
Yeah, I think we need to make sure that's clear, Cece, that this is someone, again, Section 8 housing, and did a lot of has a lot of medical needs, not someone who could probably afford to take this to court themselves without organizations like ours who are doing it at no cost.
Right, and that does make all the difference in the world because a lot of these cases, it is so expensive. And I say, you know, sometimes we can handle that even with a demand letter. But when you hire a law firm, even to just do the research and write a demand letter, that can be so expensive that people can't even afford to do that. But not only do we do that, because obviously we want to resolve it as quickly and as amicably as we can, sure. We are always ready to go to court and we will take it all the way up to the Supreme Court and we never charge a dime for any of our legal work. And that is because of the support of our donors.
Right, of course. And again, yes, you may be like, Logan, you've pitched this a bunch of times, but I want you to hear stories like this. This woman would not have, she probably would have been kicked out of her place.
Yes.
And would have had nowhere to go, would have been homeless on the street, with a lot of medical needs, and had her religious freedoms trampled upon without people like you who support this organization. So while we do all this work, foreign, domestic, you hear all this work in Israel that we're doing, meeting with the presidents and getting very deeply involved in a lot of huge government issues all around the planet. But sometimes it is this woman who is in a Philadelphia senior living facility who is being evicted because of her beliefs. Someone who is going to go and probably become a homeless and having to take shelter in somewhere much less than what she was used to just because she wanted to put some Bible tracts out. And that made someone mad. But we can do that. We can help her. And we can put some of the best on it to make sure it gets resolved very quickly. And we can do that because of your support. So I encourage you right now, go to aclj.org. I see phone lines lighting up. We're going to take your phone calls. If you're waiting right now, in the next segment, we take as many calls as we can. So you can get in line too at 1-800-684-3110. But I encourage you right now. Obviously, we're still supporting Israel. Obviously, you hear our fights for life. You hear all the things that we're doing around the world. But sometimes it's these individual moments. And those are the moments that you may need us as well. And we're not going to be there for you unless you yourself join us and become an ACLJ supporter. And whether that's a one-time donor, which is all I'm asking for today, at any level, whatever you're comfortable at, whatever you can. I know it's tough heading into summer vacations and all the things that come. June is historically not our biggest fundraising month, as you'd expect, because it is a time when a lot of people are out, a lot of people are doing stuff. But I know right now we are heading into some of the most important times. The next 6 months is going to get wild and we really could use your support. Go to aclj.org right now. Make your donation if you can. ACLJ.org. One-time donations, great. Or you can become an ACLJ champion, which is a monthly recurring donor, someone who supports us monthly on a automatic recurring basis. You can scan the QR code right now on your screen and do that. Of course, you can cancel at any time, and all donations are tax deductible if that helps you out. Give us a call. Two lines open, 1-800-684-3110. As we head into your next segment of the broadcast, we're going to take as many calls. I'd like to hear from you, because you've heard from some of the best of the best. You heard from CeCe Howe, you've heard from my brother Jordan, you have heard Jeff Balaban, but now we get to hear from you, and I'm looking at the comments you're putting in. They're going to be very interesting. Also, Will, we could discuss some of the final rules and regulations that have been put in place for that big debate between Joe Biden and President Trump coming up in just a few days. So we'll discuss that in the next segment. Welcome back to Secular again. Take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. What'd you say, Will?
Oh, we have a comment on Rumble. It says, champion clowns waiting.
You know what I love? I love looking at the analytics, because it tells us when comments spike. And it always happens. I'm deep in the analytics. I'm always looking at, you know, what people are, why, when they tune in, when they tune out, do they spike in comments? And of course, when we say send in the clowns, the comments spike like crazy. So you know what? I wasn't going to do it today, but Will brought it up. So you know what? Y'all know what to do. And if you don't know, look at the chat on YouTube and Rumble. You'll know what to do. Send in those clowns. All right. Let's take some phone calls. A lot of calls coming in about Israel. Let's take some of those. Shannon in Texas, you're on the air.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call. I just want to say that I am absolutely appalled with the way that our government is handling the whole Israel situation and how we are not a true partner with them. And it's disturbing how you don't hear, like, in the media, like, the true story of, like, the Palestinians, how Hamas hides themselves among the Palestinian people. Yeah. And many of the Palestinian people are even for Hamas.
Yeah, Shannon, you're right in that you, sadly, Hamas has a really good PR firm, if you will, a PR department that wins this war. And Israel, as much as it, you know, you've heard our support for Israel, I can be honest and honest broker. Historically, they have been bad at this. They have been bad at telling the story correctly, showing who the good and the bad is in this. They lose that PR battle, what feels like continually. And that PR battle, by the way, impacts your life, impacts your schools, impacts everything, because that's who's going to win. Who's going to win is who's going to be able to tell the better story on social media. Who's going to impact what's going on in mainstream press. That's who's going to win.
That's right. And an article came out just a week ago that Wall Street Journal had been able to get some of the Hamas military leader in Gaza, Sinwar, some of his communications. And so this is a very good reporting out of the Wall Street Journal. And this is the headline: Gaza Chief's brutal calculation, civilian bloodshed will help Hamas. And this is something we've known, that this is how they operate, but they're getting the primary document, so to speak, in journalism. They're getting the communications where he's saying, we have the Israelis right where we want them. It's why they are resisting the calls for ceasefire by throwing in little amendments that end up derailing it, is because they know that, as you said, their PR machine is really good at making the Israelis look bad because of how they hide in civilian populations. So it's not just that this is an unintended consequence of Hamas. This is the goal of Hamas, to have more brutal bloodshed of their own people so that it makes the Israelis look bad, so they can outlast Israel, so to speak, in the PR world.
Yeah, if you have no respect for human life, specifically of women and children, you will use them as, human shield's the wrong word. You use them as targets. So then you can win, like as Will said, the PR war by saying, look what they've done. They've killed all of these women and children. And look, there are casualties of war. It's horrible. I hate it. I hate looking at the imagery. I've seen it. It's really sad. I wish we could end this conflict immediately. I really wish we could. But don't buy in to the hype. Don't buy in to the PR war. Look at actually what's happening. And you promise you have a President Biden or a Nancy Pelosi who now have to take stances that they didn't typically take, they didn't used to have to take, because the Israel was just our ally. But now they have to appease a far left group of their party, which is, by the way, growing and growing and growing. The far left is going to become the mainstream if it's not already. Let's go ahead and take some more calls. Jeff's calling North Carolina, watching on ACLJ.org. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, Jordan. Hey, Will. I want to tell you really quickly, I am a Christian. I am also a conservative. I am also very pro-Israel, and we need to support Israel like never before and get out of Israel's way so that they can take care of Hamas and take care of Hezbollah so that hopefully we don't have to deal with any terrorist attacks from those groups.
Well, and you know, one of the biggest ironies, I think, of the two wars that are in Joe Biden's legacy now, one, the war in Ukraine and the war in Israel, is that they have been putting so much pressure on the Israelis in trying to get rid of Bibi Netanyahu. They're trying to actually get elections to take place so that Bibi Netanyahu loses his leadership in Israel. But at the same time, you have Zelensky in Ukraine, whose term has expired and is still in power because he's declared martial law because of the war there. But he's the champion of democracy, whereas it's a leader staying in. That's what they're afraid of happening here in America or happening in other places, is that a leader, when their term is up, they will stay in power and outside of their constitutional framework. However, they're still championing the cause in Ukraine, but they're meanwhile trying to undermine other leaders in other parts of the world for a very just retaliatory war from what Hamas did on October 7th. It just shows the doublespeak, the duplicity, and the outright hypocrisy of the left is when they have their darling, they will throw out all the rules and all of their morals when it comes to what that leader will do. But if it's going to cost them votes here in America, you better believe they're going to turn on their friends and allies.
All right. Yep. You're right. Let's continue on. Joanne, who's calling in Ohio, listening on the radio. I think she has a very similar point of view. You will. Go ahead, Joanne.
Hi, guys. You know, even the conservative media out there doesn't point this out enough, as far as I'm concerned. When Biden's standing up there saying, our resolve and, our commitment to Israel is ironclad, what nobody says is the rest of that sentence: to defend itself. They don't want Israel on the offensive because it's not good politically. Look at the weapons. They would give them weapons for the Iron Dome and the other defense systems that they have, but they won't give them the offensive weapons. This, people need to point this out.
It's a game of politics. I hate to cut you off. We're just running out of time. It is a game of politics, and that's what happens. You got to appease two groups of people, so you're trying your best to do it. And at the end of the day, you're going to have to pick whether you're supporting our allies or you're not. Let's continue on. Quickly take one more call. Let's go to Michelle in California. Michelle, you're on the air. Lisa, stay on hold. We'll try. Michelle, make it just quick.
Hi, thank you. So I just want to clarify, I'm an ACLJ champion, fellow clown, and 100% pro-Israel.
Awesome.
Okay, so I got a comment. I never thought Biden would be the Democratic candidate. They have a definite plan. I don't feel sorry for Biden. It just shows how evil his administration is, including his wife. And he is one evil dude, so he's getting what he deserves. And quick question, how does the process work for them to get a new candidate? Can anyone throw their hat in the ring?
Oh, good question. I mean, we only have about a minute, Will, but I know that he'd obviously have to, at this point, step down.
Right, correct. So because the delegates are awarded throughout the primary season, they do have super delegates, which can affect things in a different way, but typically they're going to go the way the voters are, unless they pull some shenanigans. However, if he were to step down, then it would be kind of open season, and I think they have a first round of voting, and if they don't get to the candidate, then they would have another round where anyone could then not be tethered to who their voters bound them to. It's a contested convention. We haven't seen it in a long time in this country, but it could happen in theory. But I do believe that he would need to remove himself from that process in order for that to happen at this point. I think as long as he's still running, he's still going to be the nominee.
And hey, Lisa, I'm sorry we're not going to be able to get to you today. Call in tomorrow and we'll get to you first. So make sure you do that. I like your comment a lot. Support the work of the ACLJ. Go to ACLJ.org. Become an ACLJ champion. Make a one-time donation, whatever you can. Right now, the time is of the essence. It's pivotal right now as we head in towards the end of the month of June. We really could use your support. Go to ACLJ.org right now. Become a champion if you can as well, but one-time donation would be fantastic. Talk to you tomorrow.